as I phoned Reverend Mann and said, we're doing a great big thing in our children's worship at our church. And at my church, I was Francois Dubois, the great French chef from France, come all the way across the ocean, and I come to Newmarket. And so I was this Francois guy, and it was the final week. And it was like, oh, I couldn't let the kids down. So I phoned up Reverend Mann, and he graciously said, okay, then fine, I'll preach. No, he didn't say that. He said, that's wonderful, you know, continue serving the Lord. We know that we're serving the Lord together, and that's one of the good things. And so I'm always happy to come here and visit you and minister to you and be ministered by you as well. Thank you for that wonderful time of worship. A lot of the songs I didn't know today, but the truth in them was fantastic. So thank you for sharing those with me. Now, I have a PowerPoint today. Now, I don't know how to turn it on. There it is. Okay, there we go. I often forget to bring a PowerPoint, so today I brought one, and it even has animations. Look at that. But I'm a smart guy. That's going to stop in a minute, I'm pretty sure, if I did this right, so it won't keep distracting you. All right, so today we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 12, the first few verses from that. And as we go through this, we're really going to be looking at something that I'm going to call the Amazing Grace Race. Now, how many of you here have seen the show called The Amazing Race? Any fans here? A few? Okay, my wife and I, we are total fans of this show. We love it. And I think that they're coming out with The Amazing Race, the Canadian one, either just starting this week or next, or very soon. So we're excited. We have something to watch on TV instead of just like, you know, other stupid shows that waste our time. This one is good. It's worthwhile. Right? Yeah. Okay. Anyways, it's not a commercial for The Amazing Race, but it is a commercial for The Amazing Grace Race. And so as we look at this passage, I'm hopefully going to get you to the point where you realize that we are in a race together, and that it's a race that we're privileged to be a part of, and hence the word grace. I added the word grace in there for two reasons. One, to emphasize that it is a privilege to be in that race, that journey of faith with God, but also so that I don't get sued by the Amazing Race Company. All right. Now, I had actually, they were doing a Canadian version of The Amazing Race, I think a year ago or 2 years ago. Did anyone here actually apply to go on it? No? My niece did, along with her stepfather. And it was so amazing. I was like, oh, I can hardly believe, oh, I'm going to watch it for sure. And then they didn't get picked. But the good thing about The Amazing Grace Race is that you've already been picked. So you don't have to apply to be a part of the race and journey with God. Okay, so as we look at this passage, we're going to ask that the Lord would touch us, remind us of little truths like that as we go through his word. So let's pray together and ask the Lord to touch our hearts. Heavenly Father, we do come to church to worship you, to lift up your name, and to put all other things aside for this particular time when we can be together and worship you in truth and in holiness. And that, Lord, at the same time, we realize that you're here. And so as we come to worship you, we also come with reverence and with humility. And so now, Lord, as we look into your word, we come with humble hearts, not with an attitude of, oh, I've read this passage before, I know what it has to say. But Lord, help each one of us to receive from you something special, something that will help us in our journey with you and in our walk with you, to draw us closer to you, to strengthen us, whatever it is, Lord, that we need in order to live out this coming week stronger for you and to be a brighter light. Lord, we pray that you would touch us in a powerful way, Lord. May they not be my words that are spoken today, but may they be your words through me. And may your Spirit touch each one of us and draw us to you as we pray together in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to have to, which way do I point this? That way or that way? That way. Okay, thank you. John's the only one that's helping me here. Uh-oh. Okay, there we go. So the sermon today is brought to you by the letter E, for those of you that like Sesame Street. And the first one is the event, or endurance. Now, it starts off with these words. Oh, depending on which version you have, I noticed you read a different version than I have. I think I have the old NIV. And so it was like, what? That's not in there. But anyways, hopefully you'll bear with my old, outdated version. Therefore, since we are surrounded, we are surrounded, okay? Keyword, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders. Let us. And so as this chapter begins, I just want to point out that he's talking to everyone here, okay? He's not just talking to one person here. He's actually talking to a group of people. And who is he talking to? Because I think that's really important. Sometimes when we look into God's word, we just kind of read the passage and go, okay, that's good, you know. But that doesn't always work. You need to read things in context, because you may have heard this joke before. You know, someone's like, oh, I don't know what to do. Oh, I know. I'll do what my pastor said, read my Bible. So they flip it open, they stick their finger in, they go, Judas went out and hung himself. Oh, that's not a good one. Okay, flip. Go and do likewise. You know, and it doesn't work that way, does it? You need to put things in context, because both of those are Bible verses. But you need to put things in context. So as we look at this passage, let us, and it says we and let us. And so if you look all the way back to chapter 1 of Hebrews, you can see who Paul is talking to, or you can infer it. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times in Mary. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. And you can tell right from the start there that Paul is writing to his Jewish friends, our forefathers. And so I believe that we can, because through faith, we can include ourselves in that family. And so as you're reading this, it's not just for the Jews of old, you know, they're long gone now, and it's not for the Jews of today, but it's for all followers of Christ, all followers of God. And so by extension, we're included in this, so we need to pay attention. Okay, there we go with our context, right? We need to pay attention to God's word. So let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The race. This is a metaphor. I'm a teacher, for those of you that don't know that, so I like to catch these little English things. It's a metaphor. In the Bible's full of metaphors. We're often, as people, were told to put on the armor of God. And we don't actually have to put on armor, but it's a metaphor. And there's metaphors of us being soldiers for Christ or ambassadors for Christ, even farmers. We're called sheep. And in this case, we're told to run the race. And the race is really a metaphor for a walk of faith. Oh, see, even there it's a metaphor. It's hard to say things without using a metaphor, but it's our journey of faith, and as we walk following God, he's calling it a race, okay? And we're calling it the amazing grace race. Now, when I was a kid, I think I've shared this story before. I don't know. I preach all over the place, so I don't remember where I've shared it, but I used to be a runner. I know it's hard to believe, but it is true. I used to be a runner, and I graduated from my primary school and went into a middle school, grade 7 and 8, and I went to the track and field meet. And I wasn't a sprinter, I wasn't a marathoner, I was a mid guy. So I would race the 400 meters. And I remember at the start of the race, this one guy looked over at me. I don't know if they taught him like scare tactics or intimidation things, but he said, I don't have any competition here. And I was like, oh, darn, I'm going to lose. And I started thinking, oh, man, he's beat me already, and I haven't even started. And then to top it all off, if you've ever run the 400-meter dash or if you've seen this, well, they don't, it's a dash, I don't know. They put me in row one. So I was already like half the track behind everyone to start off. It's like, oh, I'm for sure going to win. He said I'm going to, or I'm going to lose. I mean, he said I'm going to lose, and look at how far away. So I ran as soon as they did the gun, and I ran, and I was running with perseverance, you know, because it's a long journey, and some of the guys are running, sprinting, right, and I'm catching up to them because they ran out of steam. And then as we rounded the last corner, this is where the inside lane is really good because you're like, hey, I'm really moving now, and I'm catching up to everybody, but I'm flat out. I'm out of steam. There's no way. There's 100 meters left, and that could have been 1,000 miles for all I was. As far as my legs were concerned, it was an eternity away. But then off to the side, there was my old coach, Mr. Johnson. And he was at the side. His kids weren't in the race, so he was at the side, and he was like, go, Glenn, go. And he actually was going like this, because this is how fast I was running. Because it was the end of the I know, I was a runner. Okay, but it was the end of the race, so, you know, we were all going slower at that point, and we were young, too, so. But I looked over, because I heard, go, Glenn, go, and it's like, ah! And I had to help Mr. Johnson was my coach, and he said, go, so I go. And, you know, I got through, and I didn't win, but let me tell you, I gave that guy some competition. We were about that far apart, and we both made it to the city championship. Wow. He was surprised, because I was a bit shorter than everyone. So, the event is a race. Now, there's one word here that the original Hebrew uses, for those of you that really like to dig deep into this, and it's the word agora. I forgot to write the word down. Darn, I did my research and everything. Agona. Does that sound like another word you know? Agone. Agony. That's where we get the word agony from. So this race is agony. It's not one that's supposed to be a sprint. It's supposed to be like the marathon. You keep going. You need to pace yourself. You need to make sure that you're ready to go. Okay, and so as we go, sometimes it'll feel like pain, but we are supposed to run the race with perseverance, and there is another word there that says endurance, and I purposely put that word there. And my wife, it's so interesting, my wife is teaching Sunday school. Guess what she's teaching the kids in grade one? The Amazing Grace race. What's it? And I picked it first. You know what she said? My wife's so good with little kids. She said, or she practices with me, and she said, what word do you see in the word endurance? What word do you see in the word endurance? See, she talks to the little kids. She's good, right? Yeah, I didn't notice. I was like, N? No. And. No, dance. No, it's durance. Okay, I don't know. She said, end, durance. Oh, end, right. Whatever we have to go through, there is an end in sight. And sometimes what we need to do is we need to keep in mind the end, because that'll sometimes help us through. Yeah, I was focused on the end of that last 100 meters, and I was focused on the finish line. And that was what got me through. Mr. Johnson cheering me on, but also seeing the end. And I wanted to beat that guy, too, really badly, but I didn't. But sometimes we have to go through things, and it's tough. And it's tough. But hopefully we'll know and remember that this race is full of grace, too. and the things that we go through will come to an end. Whether, hopefully, in this lifetime, because if you're suffering with cancer or you're struggling with your marital relationship or you can't find a job or the bills are piling up, hopefully those troubles will end quickly. But if not, at least we have something to look forward to where they will end. And in heaven, there will be no more tears and no more pain. And that's something wonderful to look forward to. And when you've entered into the race, you have that to look forward to. But you have to be part of the event. Okay, I'm going to need to keep going because I don't normally have this, but today I have 5 points. Whew. Don't worry, some of them are short. Okay, encouragement. Encouragement. When I've read this passage so many times in the past, I always had a wrong picture of it. See, I think, verse 1, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, to me, when I read that, when it's talking about the race, I envisioned this big stadium where you're running, and there's a whole bunch of people in the stands, and they're all cheering, and go, 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 and they're, you know, and all these angels and people are looking down from heaven and going, go, 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 John, go, Sally, go, Glenn. But it's actually a little bit different than that. See, actually, in the Bible, that's a wrong view of what they're doing. You know, I'll just carry on to my point here. The witnesses it's the other way around. It's as we look into the stand, we can remember all of these people. If you look back again, context here. If you look back into Hebrews chapter 11. Talks about all these incredible men and women of God. Mostly men it talks about, but there are a couple of women in there. In chapter 11, by faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. And it lists all these incredible people of faith who did endured things, who ran the race that we're currently in, and we can look to them for encouragement. Not that they're going, you can do it, but their life is an example. A lot of them are recorded here for us, right? You can read through the Old Testament, tons of stories, but it's not just those people that we can look to for encouragement. Hopefully we can look amongst ourselves. We're a church, we're a family, and we look at Pastor Stan who's been here so many years, and we can look to his faithfulness. We can look at some of these worship team leaders who have been so gracious to share their gifts with us. And you can see the people around you, and you can hopefully they will be an encouragement, but also you'll be an encouragement to others. My daughter the other day said something really discouraging to me, and I realized, wow, I need to make some changes. My daughter asked me a question. She said, did you give Matthew, who's my son, did you give Matthew a cookie? And I'm like, no, I didn't give him a cookie. And then she looked straight at me. She's 10 years old, and I'm a pastor. Not that that makes any difference. She said, how do I know you're telling me the truth? Excuse me? I'm your father. I'm telling you the truth. I did not give Matthew a cookie. Because she wanted one of these fancy cookies. A long story. I won't get into it in case it gets back to my wife. Okay. And then I said, well, why would you even say that anyways? And she said, well, you lie to mom all the time. Oh! Ow! Okay, now, before you just throw me out of the church, oh, he's a liar in the pulpit. Well, it's not that I lie. I fabricate the truth nicely into my benefit. Like when my wife asks me, did you stop for donuts with the kids on the way home? I'll answer very diplomatically and say, why would I do that? Because I know you'd be really mad at me if I did that. There you go. So I didn't really outright lie to my wife, but definitely, this isn't being recorded now, is it? And you know what? My daughter picked up on the fact that I kind of mislead sometimes. Now I need to change because I'm not being an encouragement. I'm not being a good example to my own daughter. And I started to change. Now, I don't try and sneak things anymore. I try not to, but I'm working on it. Okay, so we need to carry on because we're going to run out of time here. Okay, everything that entangles. So the first thing is we need to remember that we're in a race. There we go. There's our little guy, caveman this time. We're in this race together, and it's a grace race. We're in it because of the grace of Jesus Christ. And we can look at examples of people in the past for encouragement to, you know, to give us an example to follow through, and hopefully we can be one of those as well. But then the next verse, I lost chapter 12. Oh, there it is. Okay. The next verse says something that is challenging. Now, depending on the version that you have, it's actually still in the first verse. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance. Notice it had the word "and" in there. There's two things that we're to be getting rid of. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin. Okay, now I've been here enough. I know Reverend Mann preaches on good stuff. So sin is bad. Don't do it. Ask for Jesus to forgive you, okay? I'm going to focus on the first half. You all know about sin stuff, right? So what's this stuff then that so easily entangles? Throw off everything that hinders. You see, if you're in a race, you're not going to be wearing baggy clothes. You're not going to wear a suit, right? It's going to slow you down. You're not going to wear a parachute as you're trying to run, right? You try and get rid of these things that kind of are entanglements or something that would slow you down. Now, what's Paul talking about here? And remember who he's talking to. He's talking to the Jewish people. And at that point, a lot of them are just first-generation Christian, and they've got all of their traditions, and they had been following the law most or all of their life, and now they're trying to follow Jesus. And Paul's saying, throw off all those things that hinder. What do you think he's referring to? He's talking about all those traditions and the baggage that they brought with them into their new faith. Anyone seen the movie Frozen? Remember the part where the girl starts singing? Sorry if you don't like my singing voice. But the past is in the past. Let it go. Let it go. Okay, I'm going to stop there. But the past is in the past. That's what Paul is saying. All of those traditions and trying to follow the letter of the law and doing everything according to the traditions of our forefathers, that we need to set aside because now we live by grace. Now we live by grace. When I first became a Christian, one of the things that my Bible study leader told me to do is, you need to read your Bible every day. I was like, okay, where do I start? He said, read the book of John. So you know what? The next day I phoned him, okay, now what do? I was doing what he told me to do. And he said, oh, what do you mean? You're supposed, like, just read a little bit each day. Okay. And I started reading the Bible every day. And I started to equate reading my Bible with being a follower of Jesus. Now, let me put some box around that. It's good to read your Bible, okay? But it's not good to think, I am good because I read my Bible. See the difference there? It's good to read your Bible, but not because I'm reading my Bible, I'm therefore good and now somehow acceptable to God. You see, I started to put it into not just a spiritual discipline, but I kind of equated my walk with God with, if I didn't read my Bible one day because for whatever reason, oh man, I'm such a horrible sinner. God doesn't love me anymore. Those are the types of things that the Jewish people had. They had all these traditions, and Paul is saying, let it go, let it go. The past is in the past. And we also need to maybe sometimes kind of look at our life and going, are we holding on to some things that we shouldn't be? Okay, better move on. Next one, example. I don't remember who's running across this time. Let's see who it is. I don't know, too small to see. I didn't have my glasses on. Too fast. Okay, example. Now, we already talked about example, kind of, but in this case, the Bible verses say in verse 2, oh, we're finally getting to the second verse, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, oh, sorry, my version says the author and perfecter of our faith, and who willingly went to the cross, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus is our ultimate example, isn't he? And we need to focus our eyes on him. Let us focus our eyes on Jesus, or fix our eyes on Jesus. And this is where we need to really follow God's plan. Remember when when Peter stepped out of the boat and he was walking on water, and when his eyes were on Jesus, he was walking on the water and he's like, whoa, this is so cool. And then, oh, it's not so cool. Look at the size of that wave. Ooh, my goodness, the wind is blowing. I'm getting wetter, water in my face. And he started not looking at Jesus and he started to sink. See, if we keep our eyes on Jesus, that's what Paul wants us to do as we're in this race. Now, oops, wrong direction. 1 Peter chapter 2. It's only over a couple pages if you have your Bibles open. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says this. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. It doesn't mean that we all have to die on the cross, but we need to be looking at Jesus as an example. He lived his life ultimately to be our Savior and to die on the cross for our sins. But also, as he lived on a daily basis, he taught the people how to live. Remember when his disciples said, teach us to pray, and he taught us the Lord's Prayer. It's a model of how we should be praying, beginning with praise to worship. Hallowed be thy name. Our Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. We're starting off with worship in our prayer. And so Jesus gives us an example of how to pray. Okay, last one. We need to follow God's plan every day. Originally, when I emailed Reverend Stan my message, I said, hey, can you just let the worship team, give them a little suggestion. We sing the song every day. Do you know that song? I said, if they don't know it, don't worry about it. Or if you forget, don't worry about it. No big worries. My son is learning to play the piano, and he's playing this song over and over again. He hates it, and I hate it. But I love I don't hate it, really. I love the truth in it. He hates it because Mom makes him do it right every single time. You made a mistake. Start at this beginning. Ah! Okay. But every day, run this amazing race. We are in this race. It is a marathon. It's not a sprint. It is a race. And when you enter into a race, you got to keep your eye on the finish line, because it'll encourage you. And you need to get rid of all those things that entangle you and the sin that can trip you up. And you need to keep your eyes focused on Jesus. And then you need to do that every single day. So just kind of as we end, I want to encourage everyone to remember that you are in a race. Once you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your life and you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you're automatically in this race. Some of us aren't racing. Some of us are just kind of standing there at the starting line going, what are we doing? We need to realize that we're in a race, and we need to do our very best in that race. if we keep our eyes, as my dad used to say, keep your eyes on your fries, because when we went to McDonald's, if you don't keep your eyes on your fries, dad would always steal one. Oh, I hated that. So I learned that, keep your eyes on the fries. But my wife's taught me, no, keep your eyes on the prize, and that's Jesus Christ, and ultimately being in heaven with him one day. But we also, I want to encourage you just that as you're running this race, to really examine your life. Ask the Lord to examine your life, actually. That's a safer way to do it. Kind of a safer way to do it. Ask God to reveal to you the things that you're holding on to that aren't truth. Like that you have to read your Bible every day in order to have salvation. That's not truth. That's not written in here. It's good to read your Bible, though. But I was holding on to that one for a while. And what about the sin? Are you holding on to sin? Because if you are, it's going to trip you up in your race and you're not going to do very well. You'll still finish. You'll get to the finish line because of the grace that's involved in this race. And the last thing that I want to remind you is this. I called it the Amazing Grace Race for a reason. And that's because it's by grace that you've been saved. Ephesians 2:8. It's by grace you've been saved and you've been entered into this race. It's nothing that you've done. It's nothing that you can do to be entered into this race. But just know that you are in this race and you've been called by him, by God himself, to be in this race. And I really encourage everyone to make that decision every day. Now, I wrote one last thing here. I still have time. I think. Yeah, okay, good. I got a nod. It's like, yeah, what am I supposed to say now, Glenn? You put me on the spot. Okay, when I went to youth group when I was just a teen, we had these shirts. And all the kids loved to wear them, and all the parents were like, ugh. Or at least for the first week, because we all wore them the first week. And on the front, all of us youth proudly, boldly went into church walking like this. And on our shirt it said, "Don't fight naked." And all the old people were like, "Whoa, get these, where's the youth pastor? Fire them." But then on cue, we all turned around and it said, "Don't fight naked. Put on the full armor of God." And we need to do that every single day. And that's why I ended with every day. Because it's sure it's a race, but it's one that you need to continue to do every single day. And don't do it in your own strength. Don't fight naked, as my youth teacher used to say with his shirts. But do it in the power of God. Use the Holy Spirit to prompt you in your life and to convict you when you are making mistakes. So I hope that I've encouraged you in your race. And let's have a closing prayer, and then our worship team is going to come and lead us. And I think you still have offering a couple things. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we are included in this amazing race, and that it's by grace each one of us have been included once we accept you as our Savior. And so, Lord, I pray for those of us maybe that haven't yet entered into the race. And we pray, Lord, that you would just take us from the sidelines and guide us to put our faith and hope in you and to accept you as our Savior. And Lord, for those of us that are already in the race, help us to run with perseverance and to realize that everything has an end and that ultimately we need to keep our eyes on the prize and keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. Help us to be an example as we have so many examples around us. And let us run this race that you have set for us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.